ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, in Victoria, on average, on an average day, 80 men are arrested in Victoria in relation to family and domestic violence issues. In the past 12 months, Victoria Police responded to 94,000 family violence incidents. It's such a huge problem that family and domestic violence now makes up 25% of the offences that Victoria Police deal with, and it is still growing. The head of Victoria Police's Family Violence Command is Assistant Commissioner Lauren Calloway. Assistant Commissioner, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Sally, for inviting me on your program.
You've called for a register of family violence offenders. Why do you think that might help?
Well, that register idea actually was put forward by Victoria Police in 2015 as part of our Royal Commission into Family Violence submission. So it's an idea that that we did put forward, but the conditions with which that was considered probably bear relevance today. And, in everything that's happened in the last few weeks in Victoria, it's probably timely to go back and have a look at some of these ideas and see whether or not they are suitable to strengthen the system.
So would that be a register similar to what's used sometimes for sex offenders or child sex offenders?
It probably would be. We never got to the detail of the register, but I have worked previously on the sex offenders registry, and in that context, we have a limited disclosure model in Victoria where, unlike, say, the United States, where you can go online and you can find out if someone is a registered sex offender, we have certain criteria and conditions in Victoria, and there's similar models that operate in other states around Australia. And what those conditions might be could be something like you are a victim of family violence and you want to find out from the police whether or not the perpetrator has previously committed family violence against other victim survivors, which is often the case.
So is that too late, though, in the process if you're already in that relationship, or could a register like that be accessed by women who maybe are starting a relationship and there maybe are some red flags there, or even earlier to check if someone's got that history?
Well, when it comes to disclosure, there can be unintended consequences. We know from the sex offender registries that operate in America where they have full public disclosure, they have a lower compliance rate with the register because offenders are constantly moving or living rough so that people don't know where they live. We have a high compliance rate in Victoria because we have a restricted disclosure model. So you have to balance out the right to know with levels of compliance that you want to achieve. But to go to your idea around, is it too late? Certainly there is a really strong information sharing scheme within Victoria, the Family Violence Information Sharing Scheme, and it's complemented by the Child Information Sharing Scheme that does allow agencies to share information about current and past family violence histories when we are dealing with families in crisis.
What do you think about intervention orders, these apprehended violence and intervention orders? The breaches by perpetrators breaching those orders have allegedly doubled in the past decade. Are those measures just not tough enough? What do you think is happening there?
Look, I think certainly the rate of intervention orders that are being applied for has increased. And you can look at the Crime Statistics Agency website to kind of see what level of increases. But so they're going up and so are the breaches. But at the same time, they're also a measure that we didn't use as much, say, 10 years ago. So you'd have to sort of think carefully about what do the increases mean. But when it comes to breaching of intervention orders, certainly from a police perspective, we see offenders who have no intention of following that intervention order. And when someone breaches an intervention order very shortly after being issued with one, that is a sign that they have not only do they have no respect for the court that put them under that order, but they have no respect for the person who actually wants to be safe and away from them. So we need to think about what does that look like then if we're going to increase perpetrator accountability. We do have an offence in Victoria around persistent breaching, which has a aggravated penalty. But there might be other things that we could do to strengthen our ability to bring offenders in when they are just simply not going to follow the conditions of the order.
Should there be changes to bail laws in Victoria, in your view?
Well, bail reform has already occurred in Victoria, and we just had the new laws start in March. So I think there's been a lot of thought in Victoria around bail reform and what would be some of the consequences of changing the laws. So I think we're in a different place to where other states are. But certainly if the government, you know, is looking at all law enforcement measures that are on the table, then Victoria Police always works with the government to see what is operationally feasible. We're encouraged to have those conversations.
What's missing? What do you need?
Well, I think, you know, the community sentiment that is around at the moment is really, you know, there is, and rightly so, a real level of frustration with what needs to change. I'm always of the opinion that we need to look at not putting this all on the women or victim survivors, that this, the piece, we've got a really good strong system in Victoria, and I've said this before. It's what parts of it now do we maybe need to go back and think, how can we strengthen and solidify it? And those pieces would absolutely sit in the realm of offender accountability, because we know who and what needs to change, and also high-risk perpetrators, because there is a core group. We know in Victoria we have about 2,500 offenders who are committing family violence more than 5 times a year. Now, they not only do they cause a lot of strain on the system, police are constantly attending to them, but both by their prevalence and the risky nature of their behaviour, are a real problem. So maybe it's time now to have a rethink about what does a high-risk offender model look like?
Should they just be in jail?
Well, I've mentioned this before too, you know, we can't keep people in jail forever. There are the model in Victoria, when we look at serious sex offenders and violent offenders, is that we have a policy suite that includes jail, but then there are extended supervision orders, there is a sex offenders registry. So those models work well. There's got to be a point where people are released from jail, and then we need to use the levers that we have at our disposal to determine, does this person present an unacceptable risk to the community? And if so, what can we do to mitigate those risks? I don't think it's possible to keep people in jail forever. We know that. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's certain cases that are different to that. But when we're talking about, the family violence system, there are things that we need to think about that could maybe restrict offenders' movements but balance between the rights of victim survivors to be safe versus the rights for perpetrators to finish their sentence, potentially be rehabilitated and go on. We do know, when we look at those 94,000 incidents, about 20% have a single incident. The police are involved, they go to court, they might get their solicitor's letter, and then we don't see them again. So it's not as if everybody is going on a trajectory to be a high-risk perpetrator.
Lauren Calloway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's Lauren Calloway there, the Assistant Commissioner in Victoria Police and is head of Victoria Police's Family Violence Command.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.